Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I wrote down these particular words, and I think it bears witness of the fact that I'm confident that at one time or another, every one of us has had the experience of something so life-changing that physical nourishment, regardless of how good it was, we weren't capable of even that consumption. I would say that no matter how the cuisine was the last thing, that was the last thing on our mind. Has the confrontation and contemplation of the direction of your life as it was headed caused you to pause and realize that the decisions we are about to make would make a change in our life forever? And that's one of the things I want to talk about today, is that sometimes I think we've got this whole thing about fasting and praying. We've got it kind of in a different place where it's a real spiritual thing, more than it's a fact where we have to realize there's some things more important that we just don't get to control in our lives. Ever been in a situation where, you know, have you ever heard the word heart sick? If you haven't, you haven't been alive long enough. All of a sudden, eating is not on the horizon. It's just a place where there's nothing that can really take care of what's going on in your life. Here's my questions for you today. Maybe they'll help you. Number one, are you willing to admit that you presently are seeking an answer to a situation that you're facing that will determine the direction that your life will take? I think there's people in this room right now that will just have to say, you know what, Pastor, I've got some things going on in my life, and something needs to happen, something needs to change, some direction that we're going. I need to find out from God, what should I do? Interestingly enough, I want to comment on the little prayer box we have here, and if those of you have cards today, you can fill those out and put those in the prayer box, because that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to pray about on this coming Saturday night from 6 until 8 o'clock. In a moment, I'm going to read you a couple of those prayer requests, but are you in a place in your life where this is a life-determining situation where it's really crucial that you really hear from Jesus? Anybody like that? Wave your hand at me. I didn't think I would miss that particular thing. What about number two? Are you willing to employ what the world would deem as drastic measures to realize the change that you believe needs to be made in the direction you're taking? Are you desperate? Really? Are you desperate to the point where you're willing to do whatever it takes for God to do what he wants to do in your life? Here, number three is this. Will you receive the faith and assurance that your sacrifice today will produce freedom and release for you and for others tomorrow? I want to speak prophetically to some of you today, but before I do, I want to read just a couple of prayer requests that were turned in this little box down front. And by the way, those prayer requests you put in this box here, they're distributed among the elders and pastoral staff, and we pray over each and every one of them. But I took out these three that would help you to understand, oh, there are people in this room, this is what they're thinking in their life. This one says, I asked for prayer for my son. We'll give his name. He wants to become transgender. I've been praying for him for about 6 months. At times I feel he doesn't want to, but then the influence from others takes him a different direction. Pray that those people will leave him alone. And God made him a man, and he's a good person, and his belief in God would change. Somebody sitting in this room, that's what they're going through. But this on the same cards, he says, and also, my sister Miriam, she has rheumatoid arthritis, and she's going blind. That's one person. How about this one? Simple enough, to be a greater witness when I witness, I would show patience and wisdom and clarity from the Holy Spirit. Simple. To help with life and to stay happy and closer to God. One more. I'm waiting on the Lord for a godly, loving, and healthy relationship. I long for marriage and to have a family. That's who's in this room with you today. But there's so many others. I'll get to the message in just a moment. I just want to tell you the importance of when we gather on this coming Saturday night. We're going to gather, I don't know whether it's going to be in this room or out there in the foyer, it doesn't really matter. But we're going to gather, and we're going to pray over all those prayer requests that you submit to this little box here and others. And we'll fix it so that we want to keep the people anonymous as far as that's concerned. But there's something that happens when people get together and they fast and they pray, God comes through. God comes through in an amazing way. There will be healings that will take place. There'll be deliverance that takes place. There'll be provision that takes place. But when we come together as a church, it's going to be totally different. And I want to tell you that don't miss next Sunday morning. We'll kind of end the fast, if you want to call it that. We'll have a time of communion. But I believe that there's healings and other things that will transpire as we as a body come together and we sense God's presence in this place. So I just want to encourage you with that. Well, I'll get into the message here. I got a little bit, oh my goodness. Well, we'll work with the time. We're a little under time, over time. I don't care about what time it is. Well, I do. I really do. But I don't. What it means to be totally or truly committed. The first two verses of the scripture today, it's kind of interesting. We're going to talk about Saul a little bit. And Saul is an interesting character because if you take him in the Bible, a person who wrote over half of the New Testament, he was something else when he started out. Something like you before God got a hold of you. And so those first two verses, again, he says, and Paul's still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from those in Damascus that he would come before men and women and those who were subscribed to the way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was an enemy of the church. He didn't want anything to do with anything of God. But it's amazing that at that particular point that God had a plan for his life. And I want to tell you, God's got a plan for your life. It might be a little bit different than what you think it's going to be. But I believe when God gets a hold of you, you're going to see some real changes happen. Well, so Saul, but one thing I have to say about it, Saul was all in when it came to being committed to destroying those people who are falling away. I want to let you know there are people and there's a devil who is all in on destroying your belief in Jesus. He'll do anything to try to discredit. He'll do anything to try to put you on the outside of it. As a matter of fact, I saw a particular, and I would encourage you to do this, Google it. Ted Wheeler was on that program, what is it, 60 Minutes. And it's only about a 12-minute soundbite of, if you want to know why Portland is as weird as it is, watch that soundbite. It'll tell you of some of the history of Oregon. Now, I'm not a racist person at all. But I'll tell you what, there was a time, and matter of fact, they didn't repeal the law, I think it was until the 80s, where it was against the law for blacks to own property in Oregon. And you wonder why things are crazy around here? Part of the reason why we really, and so it's kind of like, but I want to equate this to my message. Here's Saul, he thinks he is so right in what he's doing, and so he wants to get more papers to lock up more Christians, and he's totally against the very thing that God is for. I want to help you folks that sometimes your perspective on things is so messed up until Jesus gets a hold of you. Amen. Then all of a sudden, everything's going to change. So our commitment to follow the Lord should know no boundaries as it relates to dedication, but we will know what we truly believe by the level of our devotion and sacrifice to whatever that is. The whole idea that we've been learning about fasting and praying is that I tell you that sometimes when we think it was so important to do this or to do that or, you know, the whole eating thing, but once we move away from that, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit enlightens us on some things that we even forgot about. Consider this. Saul's militancy was fervent and bent on destruction to those who were opposed to what he believed to be true. And he was wrong the whole time. Now, can I just tell you of a particular group that I remember when I was a kid, when the Jehovah's Witness would come knocking on our door? Anybody ever have that happen? Of course, most of you did not open the door. But if you did, oh my goodness, they would tell you what it was. And once you opened that door, you'd never get them out of your living room. And they were so convinced, they told you everything about what they believed. But I'll tell you what they believed. True or not, they believed it. I wonder if some of you folks would get addicted to the ministry of the saints and start acting on what you believe. Because see, God doesn't need undercover Christians. I believe it's such a personal, private thing. Really? Find it in the Bible for me. It's not there. So here's the issue here. So that the case. So Paul's ministry was fervent. And he's bent on this destruction. So those who oppose what he believed. But Saul had a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you, some of you sitting in this room right now are going to have a divine encounter with Jesus today. Today. You say, well, I'm already a Christian. What kind? What flavor are you? Some of you are plain old vanilla. You need something inside you to spice it up a bit. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I missed that ooh-wee for a while. His dedication to the cause of spiritual things was without question, but what he believed, he was totally in. And the issue that we got to face here is he aggressively pursued all means to oppose what he believed to be heresy regarding the things of God. I want to talk to you folks that are intimidated by people who don't believe in Jesus, or those of you in those environments where you must be politically correct and keep your own spiritual values to yourself. Really? You don't have to thump a Bible, just live a life. Start living it. Start being, the Bible says you are living epistles known and read of men. People know where you're coming from by the life that you live. You can have Jesus bumper stickers all over your car. I remember, you know, the sticker they had, everybody was had one time, honk if you love Jesus. No. Live like you love Jesus. Because those people said honk if you love Jesus didn't drive like they love anybody. Well, let me move on. I'm getting off my subject. When we focus on the things that the things the Lord would have for us to do, we'll be sensitive to things that would distract us from our perceived purpose. Saul was dedicated to take down what he didn't believe in. He also focused that he believed he was on the right side. But I want to move quickly to Saul's encounter with the voice and the light evoked the only response he believed was appropriate. Now, this story of Paul's conversion captures me over and over again, even though I probably read it, I'm sure I say conservatively 50 times, maybe 100 or more. But I will tell you this much, that each time I read it, I get something a little bit different. And this time, as I'm reading that particular place, that when he gets to the particular place, all of a sudden a light appears from heaven, he falls to the ground, and he hears a voice, you know, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the words that he says, I want to tell you that Paul was converted in one sentence. You know what the sentence was? Who art thou, Lord? You mean he didn't go through the four spiritual laws? You know, someone had to confess. No, he says, because there's something about him, all of a sudden it came together for him that the voice he heard and the experience that he had, the light that he saw, I saw the light, it converted him. He said, who art thou? Because he deduced the fact that nobody could come to this particular place to break his attention, to bring him to his knees, to a place where he has to say, who art thou, Lord? I want to tell you, some people sitting here right now, before you walk out that door today, you're going to be saying, who art thou, Lord? And you're going to want to know exactly who he is. Because the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you for the very first time the magnitude and the power of God in your life to change your situation from who you were when you walked in here to somebody different when you walk out. Wow, that's a big order. It's not. Because you have kind of walked around the issue for so long, but it's time for you to make a decision as to who you believe in. The manifestation of the glory of God, you have seen it. The worship of Jesus, you've seen it right before your eyes. And it's now time for you to acknowledge that Jesus is in the house, has been calling you, and it's time for you to respond to the call of God on your life. That's for you today. Well, the next little place, he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I find there's some people, I don't know whether I even call them half converted. They're in a state of Jesus-like. I really like Jesus. He's my best friend. He don't want to be your best friend. He is not, you know, desperate for friends. They need you on your Facebook or nothing like that. He don't need that. He's looking for people who will serve him with all of their heart. I got Jesus. He just goes with me wherever I go. He's not your sidekick. You're not kicking it with Jesus, okay? He is the Lord of all and the only Lord of your life. And some of us get that confused because we just need someone just kind of help us through our hard problems. He's not, no. He is the Lord over all. So he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And if you've never asked the Lord that question, you're in trouble. Because you're kind of on your own. Because I think some of us just want Jesus, the Lord, to fix our problems and not to fix us. May I tell you something? The two are one. Well, some of those other folks will get that later on. Okay. From the moment, that moment forward, he says he was all in and willing to do whatever the Lord asked him to do. The reason why I mentioned the whole idea about the fasting situation, it makes some sense here that all of a sudden, you know, he's blind, but even the fact that he's blind, there's something about this, there's more that God wanted to do in his life, and he's willing to wait for that to happen. But we're going to pull it down to, it says, fasting is often a sign of surrender. And verse 9 again, Acts 9 says, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Why? I mean, it's one thing to lose your sight. I'm sure someone would help you out as far as something to eat. I want you to gather the importance that he knew something greater than this was going to happen. And I believe some of you are on the precipice of great things happening in your life where you need to kind of pause for a moment and wait for God to fulfill the promise that he's placed upon your life. It kind of goes like this. When we are desperate for instructions from the Lord, we will put food and drink aside. Now, this is one thing I would request of you to do. I know many people, for medicinal reasons, cannot fast a whole day, and that's perfectly fine. But this Saturday, and I hope you'll come for prayer. Matter of fact, unless you've got something else really that important, be here for prayer on Saturday night. You hear what I said? That's not a mistake. Be here. Anybody don't understand be and here together? Be here. Okay, good. But if you can, I know you can sacrifice one meal without dying. Can you do it? That one in the middle of the day, just wait till after we finish at 8 o'clock. I don't know if you have to run to McDonald's afterward. I don't know what you're going to do. If you're that desperate, God bless you. But I want you to set that particular time aside because there's something that God wants to do in that period of time where you're just kind of waiting on him for further instruction to move you further in the things of the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? It means this very fact. Our greatest hunger should be for the things of the Lord. Oftentimes, we eat because it's time. Oh, Lord, I ain't had nothing to eat. Your watch told you? Some of y'all eat to keep from getting hungry. Because you think, oh, those hunger pains, oh, I think I was going to die. Oh, my goodness. You know, really? Our greatest hunger should be for the righteousness of the Lord. When we are fasting, we can be assured that the Lord is working in the background. I'll go to chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. There's something else going on. Watch this. This is pretty amazing. Now, there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. To him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." Let me stop right there. The most profound thing you can say to the Lord when he calls to you is to make yourself aware or let the Lord know that you're available. Don't get just kind of just passively. Just acknowledge, say, "Lord, here I am." So the next little part, he says, "So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas, one who calls Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." Remember, he's already fasting, now he's praying. Isn't that amazing? But like I said, the guy got saved. He don't even really know it yet. Well, that's okay. We'll work with that. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. The man's got saved. He's seeing visions. And now there's miraculous things that he's about to receive his sight. Miracles are right around the corner for this guy. Do you realize how closely God reveals those to people who are just totally yielded to him? Miracles are on the precipice of your life, that God wants to do great things in your life if you'll just surrender to him. Miracles are not relegated to just certain people. God works miracles every day, and he wants to work one in your life today. Well, hence, this goes a little bit further forward. And so Saul entered into the fasting mode out of his desire to be fully submitted to the Lord. And prayers came forth from Saul with a desire to know the one who had captured his attention. And Jesus sent a willing believer to confront the darkness that Saul once knew and to bring the light. Just for a moment, I would like for you to take the role of Ananias. Over people that have been opposed to the things you believe in. Every one of you have got an Ananias in your life. People that they're kind of afraid of you. Well, they say, "Well, this Saul guy, I don't know. He's the guy that's against us." Some of you have a complex of certain people that you're afraid of them. And here's the deal: is that God is doing some things in people's lives that you don't really know of. You need to be bold and do what God has told you to do and forget about fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So Ananias had to get over some stuff, and of course, it's a two-way street. Well, we must reach a place in our life and walk with Jesus that we are not holding back anything. What does that mean? It means simply this. We're often the Ananias that people are waiting for to confirm the calling of the Lord on their life. Somebody's waiting for you to be obedient, to come their way, to really reveal to them and show them that God is for them. But their reputation sometimes will keep you from doing it. All right, let me get practical with you. There are some people you are scared of, afraid of. Don't you know God can work on them? Do what God has told you to do. There are some people that you're afraid to even talk to Jesus about. Oh, here we go. Do you know that God may have already prepared them, and all they need is a word from you? Their salvation sometimes rests, or their deliverance rests in the hands of people who are willing to go look past that person. "Well, that's the meanest person in the whole office. I'm not going to talk to her." Really? You don't know what God's been doing in the background. You don't know what they're facing, and the word that God has placed in your mouth will be able to set them free, and they'll be able to serve Jesus the rest of their life. Folks, get over yourself and let God use you the way he wants to use you. Well, so that means the Lord will supernaturally intervene in our situation so we can respond the way that we should. Well, fasting is not a ritual, but a reinforcement of a relationship that we have with Jesus. Our minds and our hearts are focused on him. It doesn't take a long time. It really doesn't. It just takes dedication for you to say, you know what? For this segment of time, I'm going to focus on the things that really matter. And I guarantee you, you'll have a battle with the enemy because he'll try to superimpose this, and you just have to go back and reset and reset and reset. And eventually, you'll get the idea that you're serious about doing what God wants you to do. So hence we go with this, and we will surrender all of our personal desires to accomplish his purpose in and through us. But what about this? Fasting is one of the marks of true devotion to the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. This is a great scripture. But in all things we commit ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations. Oh, that word. Tribulations. You got to tribulate. That's right. Tribulations means there's hard, there's some tough stuff coming. But in tribulations or trial, whatever, they used to say it's trials and tribulations, but here we go. In needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Whoa! All of those things are a pre-described definition of the things you will go through in order to be a minister of Jesus to do the things he's called you to do. You say, well, I didn't sign up for all that. Do they have another level of entry? Something I can just kind of work myself into? That's a little too starchy for me. This is what it's all about, folks. By the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, God wants to use you, but sometimes you don't get to call the shots of how it's going to be, how you're going to be used. Dear Jesus, when we choose to deny ourselves, we will become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. The Holy Spirit will speak to anyone who's listening. Amen. What? He'll do that. And it's amazing that in our time nowadays, that some people have discounted themselves or of being a person who listens to the Holy Spirit because it's based on their behavior. Now, all of us have been rascals at times. Don't look at me funny. You got issues. But the Holy Spirit has not given up on you. As a matter of fact, he's speaking to you right now. And these next, I got about 6 minutes left because there's something that we need to accomplish here today. Because I want to tell you this whole idea behind this, that we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things that we would deem impossible. This last little principle I think is very important for me to say to you today, that fasting does not guarantee we will get what we want. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 through 23. Let me give you a little backdrop on this for those of you who don't know the story. David was a king in Israel. And David committed a sin with Bathsheba he did a number of different sins with that whole story. Let me just kind of summarize real quickly. He has this affair with Bathsheba. She gets pregnant. And she has her husband killed to kind of cover up the whole situation. He marries Bathsheba. They have a son. The son is born, and the son is about to die. Let me pick up the story there. Another time, I'll give you the whole story. Now, David therefore pleaded with God for the child and fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Let me stop right there. Do not think you can blackmail God into getting what you want. I don't think he was trying to blackmail God, but he's desperate. He figures, I'll fast and I'll pray, and certainly God will hear me. Well, let's see if it works. And on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. Let me stop right there. Even though David was a man, a psalmist, wrote all these lovely things, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, David had some attitude. And he was not a pleasant person to deal with when things didn't go the way he wanted to. Well, he can play on his little harp and this type of thing, but there's a side of David. And there's a side of you that will come out. And it's, and one particular scripture wrote out this, that he will do himself some harm. Some people added that to the Bible. No, he may do some harm. And ain't no telling who's going to, it may be to him, maybe other folks. They left the, may do, mm-mm. David going to do something, okay? But no, verse 19. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived the child was dead. And therefore he said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. Move on to the next few verses, please. So he arose from the ground, he washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. I want to tell you something. Even when you don't get what you want, there's no reason for you not to worship. See, some of you are holding back your worship from God until you get the person that you want, or the money that you want, the house that you want, the job that you want. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you get what you want, he's still worthy to be praised. Even when your heart is broken, even when you can't find the words to say thank you, he's still worthy of worship. Now let me just show you how this works. So he arose from the ground and he washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped, and he went down to his own house, and when he was requested, he set before him food and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and you wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and you ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Whoops. Sorry about that. Sorry. We have to come to a conclusion here. We may not get what we want, but that's no reason for us to stop worshiping. Yes, we can fast and pray for the things that we think that we desire, that we're entitled to, but I want to tell you what, if it doesn't turn out your way, you still need to worship God. Amen. I'm talking to some people right now that the thing that's held you back from really following Jesus is you had a tragedy in your life. It could have been a bad marriage. It could have been something with your kids. It could have been you lost a child. It could have been a number of different things. And that is what has hindered you from following Jesus. I want to tell you that's not good enough excuse. God is still worthy to be praised. I want to start you today on a new step forward, that putting your past behind you, put it into perspective, that today is a new day and God has called you to be one of the people that will serve him with your whole heart, that without reservation, that you will from this day forward come to a place of acknowledging him as being your Lord and Savior. Everybody's head bowed, every eye closed, everybody keep still because God's going to do something right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm putting you under arrest right now. And for some of you, you know exactly what I mean. You need to stop running. And you need to obey God today. Because he's calling you. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I want to tell you something. That today is the day for you to get it straight. See, was this for just for unbelievers? No, for some of you folks who have claimed to be believers, because that thing you've been holding against God that's kept you from being totally committed to the things of God, you need to let go of it today and allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to change you. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's as if I'm there with Saul as he's raising and as he's just going down the street, probably was seething with anger, knowing the people of the way. And all of a sudden, a light comes from heaven and he falls to the ground. And your voice comes out and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In the same way, Lord, you're saying to people in this room, John, Joe, Fred, Mary, whoever it happens to be, why are you putting all of this on me? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you abandoning me? I've been calling you because I love you. And in spite of what you suffered, I've got a plan for your life. Lord, help them to know the response that they need to make today is, "Who are you, Lord?" And when you respond that you are Jesus, the next response they need to make is, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Lord, there are people in this house today that need to ask you that question, and when they get to answer that particular question, "What do you want me to do?" it will be surrender your whole life. And there are people like that in this room right now. In the name of Jesus, I want to put behind you everything, every excuse, everything that you've thought of in your life that would keep you from following Jesus, every heartache, every pain, every affliction, every unanswered question, that you'll put it aside and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And Jesus would say, "Follow me. Let it go. Come to me today." If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. Say, "Jesus is calling me," right? Lift it up high where I can see. Lift it up high right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.